G'day, sports fans. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sports by Fry podcast. Back on the mic, recapping two preseason games. We were treated to the GWS Giants clashing with Gold Coast Suns. And then after a slight power outage and snake on the field delay, we got the Sydney Swans versus the Brisbane Lions. So let's not make this a long intro because these are meant to be bite-sized podcasts and get stuck into the games. Starting with the Suns and the Giants, the big talking point and the top scorer from this game was Alex Sexton. Helped himself to 31 disposals and 11 marks, if you don't mind, which saw Sexton finish with a game-high 115 fantasy points. And as a result, that bloke's ownership is only going to continue to skyrocket. He's only 380K. We all know he's listed as a forward after he struggled to try and find a regular spot in Gold Coast's side. And Dimmer wants to play him in the back line. And he did look pretty good in the back line. Didn't exactly thrive early, but helped himself to six kickouts. And like I said, had a ton of the peels. So ownership at currently 15%. I expect to see that climb in the coming weeks as we gear up for round one. Tuke Miller was far behind him at 109 points. He was pretty good early, I'll be honest, as was Tom Green, who top scored for the Giants. I think if you have either of those guys in your sights for round one, you could probably safely lock them away. However, they do have one of the early buys, so I think they're both on the watch list for me and to be viewed as future upgrade targets. Toby Green might have taken away the three Brownlow votes, if you ask me. GWS smashed the Suns. The end margin was only 44 points, but there was a period of the game where they were up by about 11 goals, and I think Toby Green was one of the main factors for the reason that GWS got off to a flyer. I think his 3 goals 3 and 96 fantasy points are probably overs for what he'll do throughout the season, but the skipper of the Giants is definitely someone that I would be targeting in draft and someone that I think can fill out forward lines. He could even push for top six forward status. We'll have to wait and see. Noah Anderson, he was mellow. He only had 81% time on ground for a score of 88. Finished with 28 touches, but didn't take a lot of marks and tackles. Not reading into that a ton. Braden Fiorini is someone that we've waited to kind of pop for a few years now and get regular, consistent minutes in the Suns midfield. He was fine, but I don't think I'll be picking him at any point this year, unlike last season when he emerged as a popular choice. Sticking with a couple of the ruckmen, Kieran Briggs and Jared Witts, near identical numbers. I think Briggsy finished with about 10 points more. Witsy had a lot more hitouts. Briggsy had a few more touches around the ground, but I thought that they were both fine. Kieran Briggs actually had a game-high 9 clearances as well, for what it's worth. But as I talk about the rucks, those two dominated. They attended over 60 ruck contests themselves. But one of the cash cows that I'm going to steer to very quickly in Aaron Cadman was playing a bit of ruck for the Giants. Had 18 ruck contests. Didn't light it up exactly from a fantasy standpoint, but it was good to see him displaying a versatile skill set. He kicked a snag, had 4 hitouts, and finished with a score of 59. I think he's someone that can definitely be a cash cow option on the bench. Someone who scored a bit better than him and is another cheap GWS forward that might see a bit of fantasy attention is Harvey Thomas. Now, he impressed in bursts against the Swans in the Pracky game and then had a score of 66 tonight with a pretty complete stat line. He didn't really trouble the scoreboard, but 14 touches, 6 tackles as well, which is something I love to see as a pressure forward. I think that he is someone that I'll look at for my starting team. It's tricky when we talk about these early buys with regards to cash cows. You don't want to be picking too many guys that are obviously taking the same week off. For example, if you're looking at having Tom Green, you probably don't want too many other guys who have that same buy in your midfield bench. So if you are looking at someone like Sam Flanders, as I'm pretty sure, as I double check this because I'm not entirely sure, that the Suns and the Giants both have the same buy in round 3. Yeah, they do. So for example, if you want Sam Flanders in your forward line and you've got Aaron Cadman and Harvey Thomas on your bench, those guys won't be able to contribute to part of your best 18. So just something to consider as we continue to build our starting teams. A couple of the big names like your Josh Kelly, Stephen Cornelios, they kind of went through the motions and were fine. It was good to see Connor Butterick gather 20 touches. He impressed me in bursts as well. And I think his price makes it really tricky to justify picking him, but he didn't put a foot wrong. And I think that there'll be some coaches who roll the dice with him and probably be rewarded because I think that he's in for a pretty impressive year. Sam Flanders was another one of the Gold Coast midfielders who didn't really get going from a fantasy standpoint. Similar with Matt Rowell, who Matt Rowell only played 2/3 of the game, scored a 50. Flanders was only 4 points better and did play a lot more of the game. But I'm not really too concerned about those guys. Raul was quite handball happy and stood out in bursts, I think. But we'll have to wait and see how their midfield mix looks in round zero. But I don't think either of those guys are going to interest me in Classic. Flanders as a forward will have a lot more popularity, obviously. But in draft, I think that those two guys are someone you can lock away for the season, because I think the Suns midfield are all going to be pretty impressive, pushing towards a 90 average. A couple of other cheaper options. Thomas Berry isn't someone that most fantasy coaches will have in their team thinking. In the first quarter especially, I thought he was everywhere. He was running around getting a lot of the pill. He's 338K as a forward, so it's a bit of a shame he's not 80K less. Otherwise, we could maybe consider him. But I did like what I saw from him, and I think that it's impressive to see him vying for a spot in their best 22. Lachie Whitfield, for what it's worth, only played 50% of the game for a score of 45. Still a solid pick in your draft leagues. And when we get into, again, some of the other cheaper options, Bodie Yuland is someone that has been justifiably garnering attention as a bench pick. He only had 24% game time. Did score 32, and we did see last year that he was able to play a couple of games and score in all right passages of play, but I don't really love it, to be honest. It's not a route I would go down. I was bummed to see that Sam Clohese, someone that I've talked about a little bit, was only an emergency. So he is obviously outside that top 28 squad for the Gold Coast Suns. If he comes in, I think he's a solid cheap option. Obviously, the Suns were missing a bit of a slew of players as well, with your Lachie Weller, Jed Walter, and a couple of their other draftees, but not too many big names, to be honest. And from the GWS side, they had some more recognisable players out: Jesse Hogan, Harry Perriman, Finn Callahan, Lachie Ash, Isaac Cumming, and Darcy Jones, who has had another injury setback. So that might mean good things for someone like a Harvey Thomas or Toby McMullen. Maybe they can get a consistent run of footy to start the season. Turning my attention to the Sydney Swans clashing with Brisbane, looking at their team sheets, Brisbane weren't missing too many names that we expect to push for round one selection. Connor McKenna could be the only other one who might be in the mix, but Dev Robertson, someone that has been kind of on the radar for coaches, I don't think he'd go down that route. And we know that Doudé and Will Ashcroft are out due to their long-term injuries, but should be back around the midpoint of the season, maybe Doudé a bit sooner. From the Sydney standpoint, they were missing some stars. Jake Lloyd didn't play. We all know about Cal Mills' injury. Tom Papley, Luke Parker, and Chad Warner all missed as well. So it's tough to get a complete gauge of their mid rotation, because like I said, those guys will slot in at some point. But I can't bury the lead and not talk about Errol Goulden, because any other fantasy season, I would be picking this bloke. And I've talked quite advanced about why I'm starting with Nick Dacos, and I think that he is going to be put a little bit of a gap between him and the next best defender. Errol Goulden might be about to do that from the midfield standpoint as well. Started out in a wing, much like the Errol Goulden that we all know and love. He was everywhere, kicked a snag, had 7 marks, 9 tackles, a game high 133 points. He's someone that if he comes out and does this in round zero as well, I don't think people are going to give a fuck about the early buy, and they will just slot him into their team. So very impressive showing from Errol Goulden. It may affect his ownership if he keeps putting up big numbers. But James Jordan will undoubtedly see his ownership percentage increase as well. He had 119 points against the Lions, 31 touches, was seeing a healthy dose of minutes around the stoppages. Similar to Goulden, was playing a bit on the wing at times. I don't think off the dome he played too many CBAs, but let me double check that. Either way, I think he did impress. I only watched patches of this Sydney game and then chewed through the KO mini when I got home, but I know there were guys like Rowbottom who were getting a lot more minutes. Goulden and Heaney were in there for chunks as well. Nice to see good old Angus Sheldrick get a run. So I don't think James Jordan's going to need a lot of centre bounces to dominate. And the centre bounce numbers are always a little bit skewed, because what we really want to know is who's around the stoppages necessarily, because there's only one centre bounce after a goal, but there may be 4 or 5 stoppages before the ball's before another goal's kicked. So I do think that James Jordan is a popular pick. For your draft players out there, Hugh McCluggage and Dane Zorko were the top scorers for the Lions, and I think they're all right picks. If you're going for Zorko, you need to remember his age demographic, but scored 97 from 69% time on ground. Has been a bit injury prone in years past, but someone that I wouldn't completely ignore from a draft standpoint. I promise I won't talk about Kadeen Coleman for too long, but man, this guy does nothing wrong. He was my arguably first pick player this year. He had 91 points and 74% of game time, kicked a snag as well, which you don't see too often, took 10 marks, took a couple of kick-ins as well. So there is no way that Kadeen Coleman will be starting outside of my side. Actually, Fact check, he didn't take any kickouts, which is even more encouraging. So I love Kitty Coleman, and I think that he's going to be a lock, and his ownership percentage will also probably only increase off the back of this big score. From a cash cow standpoint for Brisbane, Kai Lohmann actually got around the footy quite a bit. Didn't kick too many snags or trouble the scoreboard, but finished with 77, laid a lot of tackles and had a fair chunk of the footy and played quite a bit of the game. So if he does that again in round zero, he's another player. Again, we're spoilt for choice with these cheap forwards, but he could be someone that justifies a spot on your bench when round one officially rolls around. Isaac Heaney's starting to interest me from a fantasy standpoint as well. He had a decent run through the midfield and forward. Nice combination, I think. And from a draft standpoint, he's someone that I'll be targeting a bit earlier than I initially thought. Like I said, Angus Sheldrick was out there, obviously due to Luke Parker, Chad Warner, all those other big names being out. So when they're back, we'll know a bit more about Sheldrick's role. But another cheap cash cow who, much like Sheldrick, burst onto the scene a little bit last year was Matty Roberts. And he looked pretty impressive in the halfback line and is someone that's currently in my M10 spot. 65 points he had with 18 disposals, 15 kicks as well, which we love to see. A lot of kicks over handballs. Doesn't make a drastic difference, but someone that I think it could be a bench option for sure. Brody Grundy only played 60% of the game and he sat off from memory the entire third quarter. Looked not lethargic, that's not the right word, but he was legitimately just going through the motions. So don't be alarmed by this. I'll be picking him. 1 point worse than Brody Grundy though, and probably the biggest talking point out of this game was Taylor Adams, who had a very strong showing in his Sydney debut, in quotation marks. 50 points, 15 touches, only played 50% of the game because about two-thirds of the way through the third quarter, he got awkwardly tackled by Cam Rayner. And the word out of Sydney at the moment is that he has a slight medial knee strain. And we know that Adams' health is the biggest question mark over his head. Break-even of 75. If he comes out in round one or round four and he doesn't go exactly great or he's tweaks an ankle or tweaks a knee and he only scores 40 points and his cash generation stalls, that could ruin a lot of coaches' forward line thinking. So something to monitor. And I've been having Taylor Adams as a lock. He was my F1 right now. I may have to change that depending on what happens and what news comes out of Sydney over the next coming days and how he looks in round zero. But it's really disappointing because, like I said, he did actually look quite impressive in the minutes he was playing before he went down. So definitely a watch with Taylor Adams. Not too many other relevant fantasy names out there. All the cheap guys and the bench players who didn't play a lot aren't going to interest coaches a lot. We saw someone like Will Edwards get a run. Good on you, mate. Henry Smith from the Brisbane Lions. Congratulations. But again, neither of them are really in our thinking. And shout out to Caleb Mitchell as well, a draftee who got his first run for the Swans and was okay in about half the game, but didn't have a lot of the pill. So those are the noteworthy takeaways from the games that I did just watch between Sydney and Brisbane and GWS and the Gold Coast Suns. Tomorrow we get treated to another doubleheader as well. I think I'm going to record those pods Saturday morning talking about the two games that we do have coming. But I think as well, after we get the weekend's games, the ones on Saturday and Sunday, I'll drop the episode Sunday evening. So hopefully over the weekend, you can check out those Sportsby episodes to keep up to date with all the preseason fantasy tidbits. On socials, I am dropping all the rookie ramifications as well, their time on ground, their role, the bits and pieces that are relevant. So make sure you stay glued to the socials to check them out. As always, though, I do appreciate you listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time.